How are we doing? Great. Awesome. Amen. I'll just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I exalt your holy name, O God. Holy Spirit, right now I declare an open heaven in this house, my God. Lord, I lay down my life right now and I say, Holy Spirit, take over. Lord, I receive the mantle that you've given me this morning, O God. And Holy Spirit, I pray for a word that cuts through every person's heart in this house, oh my God. I pray for a rhema word that comes straight from your throne to every individual represented here, every family represented here, every country represented here, my God. And Lord, we give you honor, we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, it's a good day, isn't it? Some of us, we're finishing the fast. Some of us finish a little bit early. I won't point. But spiritually, today marks the beginning of something great. Amen. As a church, we've made a declaration. We declared we were stepping out. We were stepping out in faith. We were believing God to shake the heavens as we laid our lives down for the last 21 days. Amen. And now we're at a point where we await miracles. So for some of us, we sought for financial miracles, businesses, jobs, employment. For some of us, we sought for families, marriage, children, salvation. Whatever you sought for, we are waiting for that manifestation to come. Is that right? And for some of us, we've already stepped into we're reaping that harvest already. So now we are just awaiting the miracles and the declarations that we made the past 3 weeks to come to pass. As we started the year out, we've been hearing about crossing over. We heard about crossing over from 2014 to 2015. We heard about crossing over from the wilderness into Jordan. We heard about crossing over into our destinies. That's right? Yeah? Okay. So that's where we're at now. As a church, we've done 21 days. We're standing here. That's our promise. But we're not there yet. So what do we do whilst we're in this place? Amen? How many of you have heard of the microwave generation? Anyone? Ah, good. Only one person. Thanks, John, for reading. People, get up to speed with research. Anyway, I'll tell you what the microwave generation is. It is us. I don't know what the ages are, but mostly people that live today who are fascinated with instant gratification. So think text messages. How many people actually write, "How are you doing today?" Very few. Very few. So is that the fascination with instant gratification, fascination with text messages, with email? And as members of the microwave generation, we find ourselves standing in front of the microwave. I've done this when I do quick oats for my kids, 90 seconds. I stand there, I'm like, come on, 15 seconds, 10 seconds. I get frustrated watching 90 seconds. So what I do, I put it in and I walk away. And I come back maybe 10, just in the last 30 seconds, and then I watch it. But that's the generation we've become. So research that's been done says that our generation wants quick fixes. Very few of us cook meals from start to end. Some of us buy prepackaged meals that we chuck in the microwave. Some of us buy sauces that are pre-made. We just pour over our meals. With books, there's movies made of books now. You don't even have to read a book. You go and watch the movie, you get a general idea. You Google anything you want instead of you going out to find it for yourself, yeah? So that's the generation. I know it's broad. Some of us are not like that. But that's the generation we live in today. So with that mentality, then bringing it into our Christian walk, and we are praying and believing God, and He doesn't answer us in 2 seconds. He doesn't answer us in a day. A lot of us struggle. So today, I am going to talk to us about doing it again. Amen? Say, do it again. I didn't hear anyone. Do it again? Awesome. So I'm going to talk to us about how we can remain grounded whilst we wait on God to bring our miracle to come to pass. Amen? How do we not lose hope when everything around us is hopeless. Most people want results, but they don't want to do the work. To get results, you need to be consistent and you need to persevere. Those words in our generation, the younger people, we do not like those words. We want quick fixes. We're like, what's the shortcut to whatever? There's shortcuts everywhere to do things. Amen? Say, do it again. Do it again. Awesome. Caleb and Joshua, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. They are the only two people that left Egypt that made it, that crossed over to the promised land. And the reason why they stayed in that wilderness for 40 years was because of other people's complaining, was because of other people's ungratefulness, was because of other people's loss of focus. Some people made, you know, a golden calf and they started worshiping it. But Caleb and Joshua were consistent in their worship of God. They persevered through everything that the Israelites went through. Say, do it again. Do it again. So what we do in our daily lives is what leads us into our destinies. Yeah? So what I do every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all that added over and over and over is the result I'm going to get in December. Amen? So if I, whatever it is that we've been praying for, whatever you've been believing for, you need to put in place strategy, daily strategies to make sure that you get to your destination. Amen? I'll read Daniel 6, verse 10 in the New King James. I'll just give you a background of the story here. This is when a law had been passed saying they can only worship one God. They can only worship this image that King Nebuchadnezzar had built. And this is what is reported on Daniel. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as was his custom since early days. Amen. So Daniel's secret was in his daily routine. Daniel outlived three kings. He served in their service, but he outlived three kings. And the secret to his success was he was consistent in his three times a day, he would pray. And he persevered. He didn't care what law came out. He just trusted in the process. He knew that if you worship God, everything will be okay. So Daniel was in a situation you could say was hopeless. Here he is working in the palace. There's a law that says you can't worship. How many of us would have stood the test to say, okay, I'll worship you, God, regardless of if my job is putting pressure on me. I'll worship you, God, regardless if I work more hours, I'll make more money. I'll worship you, God, beside the fact that I'm having fun with my family. I worship you, God, regardless that I'm feeling sick, regardless that I'm feeling hopeless, that I'm feeling dejected. Amen? If you have the privilege of watching a professional athlete train, you'll be amazed at the level and intensity that they train at. They are very consistent. They persevere. I've got just a clip I found. The fastest man alive on record is Usain Bolt. Yeah? How many of you knows how fast he runs his 100 meters? 9 seconds, maybe? Yeah, around that mark. That training for 9 seconds of his life. I was listening to an interview that he did, and he said a lot of times he wants to quit. I listened to his father talk. His father says he doesn't even want to watch him train because it breaks his heart. He said he pushes himself to a point that he thinks is almost inhumane. Like he gets so tired, he collapses, he throws up, he can't move his legs, he can't move his body. And what he said was like, he's like, I want to quit, but I know that if I want to become a champion in that arena, I need to put the work behind, amen? So champions are made behind in secret, and then they are crowned in the arena, amen? So that intensity is how we're supposed to be walking our lives, is how we are supposed to be driving ourselves, pushing ourselves to be who God created us to be. A big goal for most people is to lose weight, and I'm one of them. But what do I do in my daily routine that makes me achieve that goal? Am I conscious of what I'm eating? Am I conscious of how I'm exercising? Well, I just eat whatever I eat and then hope for a miracle and say, God, you know, do your thing. Wave your hand and somehow that weight will drop. That's not how it works in this world that we live in. We need to persevere. We need to push through. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. I'll read it in the NIV. I'll read it in the NIV. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Amen? This is from the Word of God. And God is telling us there's times that we are going to be hard-pressed. There are times that we're going to be crushed, that we're going to be pushed from every side. But God says we will not be destroyed. Amen? You will not be destroyed. Whatever situation you're facing, I'm declaring you will not be destroyed. Amen? You're going to see it through. You're going to persevere. It's hard. It's not easy to just push through something. Anything that is of value, there's work that needs to go in. Amen? 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 in the Message Bible says, whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. Amen? So whatever it is that you've believed for at the start of the year, whatever prophetic word you've received before, whatever desire is in your heart, God has stamped it with a yes. Amen? So we know that it's going to come to pass. What we need to do is work from where we're at until we get to that point where we get that stamp. Amen? You know, Pastor Tony always tells the story of the farmer. You know, he's told it a few times. There's a guy, he called himself a farmer. When the rains came, he just sat down. I am a farmer. I am a farmer. When it was time to sow seed, he was just in his rocking chair. Oh, yes, I am a farmer. I am a farmer. Time came for harvest. He was still sitting there calling himself a farmer. Do you think he's a farmer? No. He's had the vision that he was a farmer, but he put absolutely nothing in place to make sure that he achieved his vision. Amen? If we resist the monotonous, so if we resist that routine, if we resist that stuff we call boring and mundane, we will miss the miracle. Amen? We will miss the miracle. Imagine Joshua as he walked around that wall of Jericho as they were going. Day one, day two, day three, day four. What if at day five he's like, you know what, I'm tired, God. This is not working. I'm not seeing results. They were exactly where they were at day one in the natural. And what if he just quit and said, God, I'm done? What if at day six, he's like, I've done this for 6 days. I've told these men, we're going to march around, nothing. What if he quit at the start of day seven as they were standing there and said, God, this is crazy. This is so weird. How am I going to get all the praise and worshipers in front? I don't have insurance to cover them when they're fired at, I don't know, whatever excuse he would have come up with. What if he had stopped? That marching was monotonous. It was routine. It was normal. It was tiring. But it's at the seventh day. So that's when the stamp of God was at the end of that seventh day that the walls came down. Amen? So if, for example, if you have years of making bad financial decisions, and then today you're like, okay, today I am going to change my ways. I'm going to start putting in place financial strategies like we've been learning in the evening sessions. 6 weeks from now, I can come back and say, oh, it's not working. I've tried it. Nothing. I don't have the money in my bank account. I don't have the overflow. Nothing is happening. Is it not working? No, it's just that there's a process I have to go through. I need to undo the bad that I did whilst I establish new routines that are going to get me to my stamped. Amen? Do it again. Say it. Do it again. Amen. So we need to get into, I guess, habits of just being consistent in doing the little things, being consistent in working on our small goals that are going to get us to our vision. Amen. By repeating the right things, we will eventually get the reward. Some of you have heard of the saying that Rome was not built in a day. Amen. Like I said, we've been termed the microwave generation, where we want things instantly. We want things today. But we need to put the work in. We need to be planning our days. At the start of the year, as I was just, you know, waiting on God, I'm like, God, you know, I had a great year last year. You know, I'm looking forward to a big and fantastic and supernatural year this year. What do you want me to do? And I actually felt God say, I want you to look at your routines, your daily routines. I want you to go back to the basics. I want you to go back to looking, how do you plan your meals for your family? Like just simple things like that. What's the routine for my kids? What's the routine for, you know, my work? What's the routine for my business? And I'm like, oh yeah, of course that's easy. And I sat down and I was just shocked at just how much time I waste and just how many things I start and stop. Like I'll be so excited about something, put in place, you know, 2 weeks later, I find I'm back to my old ways. I'm back to my old ways. A few of you might be like me. And if we need to move from whatever arena that you're in, you need to develop the habits of this next arena so that when you get here, you've got the capacity to hold whatever is demanded of this place. So if you're a student, you need to start developing habits of waking up, you know, early, towards the end of your degree maybe. Start waking up earlier than you would instead of waking up at 10. Because once you get a job, you can't show up to work at 11 and just say, I slept in. If you're, like, planning on having kids, you need to start thinking about, you know, your house if you're pregnant. Okay, you need to childproof certain things. You need to do certain things. Like, there's always a process. There's always a routine that you need to put in place to hold that vision that you have, amen? John 15, verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me, amen? We will not arrive at our goals until we abide in him who enables us to do what we can. Amen? So God is responsible for creating. He's responsible for changing. He's responsible for blessing us every day. So to guarantee success in your life, stay connected to him. Amen? He is the one who will give you the strategies that you need for whatever situation you're in. He will give you the foolproof, guaranteed strategies for where you're at. You can look at me and say, oh, this is what she did. But that might not be what God wants you to do. Like in the Bible, Noah, when God sealed his covenant with Noah with a rainbow. Yeah? It's like, oh, I'm going to seal my covenant. You know, I'll bless you. There'll be seed time and harvest. Beautiful rainbow. Moses, Abraham. How did God seal his covenant with them? It was circumcision. Same covenant, different processes, but both covenants still stand today. Amen? So what I'm encouraging us is get personal with God. You can read the fanciest books. You can go to the biggest conferences. But if you do not break it down for you, you will keep going to the same conferences year after year. And you'll have where you are today is where you'll be next year. I'll read Isaiah 54, verse 2. It says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your turned curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Amen. How many of you have read this before? This has become one of my favorite verses. Enlarge the place of your tent. Guess what I've got? A tent. I borrowed that from my kids. This is not really a tent, but this will do. So imagine, this is like all traditional and it's got the anchor point here. Yeah? So this is our tent. And God is saying, enlarge the place of your tent. How would we enlarge this tent if we wanted to enlarge it? What would we do? First of all, you'd have to stretch this tent. So instead of that border, can everyone see? I'll bring it in the middle. So instead of that border being where it is, I could lengthen it to here. Like just imagine maybe 30 centimeters around it. And that's what God is saying to us today. Enlarge the place of the tent. So that means enlarge the vision you have for your life. Amen. So whatever it is where you're at today, if you need to grow, enlarge where your vision is at. So that's the first thing you do. Then number two, it says stretch the tent curtains. So enlarging the vision is visualizing. I'm like, okay, this is the border of my tent. I want to enlarge it, oh, maybe 30 centimeters. I didn't touch the tent. I just visualized that and made a decision. This is how wide I want it. But if I need to get it to that 30 centimeters, I need to touch this curtain and pull it back 30 centimeters, or it means unpegging it from the things that the pegs and move it back 30 centimeters. And that's where I'm talking about. That's our daily process. That's our routine. If I don't stretch the tent out, I can say, I'm going to enlarge my vision by 30 centimeters. But if I don't physically hold the tent and pull it back, nothing's going to happen. Yeah? So like I said before, this tent needs the capacity to hold my enlarged vision. Yeah? So where you're going, you need the capacity to hold that vision. If you study, I've been doing a lot of reading on successful people. And they tell you the same things. Be disciplined. Be disciplined in yourself. Put in, John Maxwell actually says in the first 20% of your work, put in 80% effort into that 20%. And is that 80% effort is planning. Is sitting down and saying, I'm going to do this, do that, this, that. And then the rest of the day, all you do is 20% of the work. It's just carrying out the plan that you have in place. Amen? Say, do it again. Do it again. So we need to change habits. We need to change our habits that are stopping us from growing and start doing over and over new habits that are going to allow us to enlarge our tents, that are going to allow us to stretch our tents. And the third point that it has in that verse is lengthen your cords. All right, so imagine these are cords. So you would get your cord and lengthen it out. Get your cord, lengthen it out. Get your cord, lengthen it out. Get that cord, lengthen it out. The longer the cord is, the greater ability it has to withhold pressure. Amen? So how do you manage your routines? Do you have margin in your day? For me, with kids, I need to leave the house at 8. I need to be at work at 8. Am I leaving the house at 10 to 8? If there's traffic, I'm frustrated. Because why? I have not given myself margin. So in your day, do you have margin to allow for those unexpected things that come? Not even just in a day, in your month, in your year, in your 5 years, do you have gaps in there that allow you room for the unexpected or for God to just completely change the plan? Yeah? So the routines that you have as a whole, how are you managing them? And are they giving you the results you want? And then the last thing it says, strengthen your stakes. So these are the pegs. So you bring those pegs out. After you've stretched out, you've made your border, you bring the pegs down. And then you would wind the rope on it. Wind the rope. And after that fourth point, you've enlarged your tent, amen? You've enlarged your tent. So how do I strengthen my stakes? We always need to be anchored on the vision. The reason why most of us start and stop, is because we lose focus of the vision. We lose focus of where we want to go. The reason why I'll wake up and I don't want to work out today is because I forgot the goal I set for myself 3 months ago. The reason why I'll, you know, whatever reason that stops you is because you stopped having that vision at the front of, at the forefront. God says he stamped our requests with a yes. Amen? He's already done that. But he's not going to come here and do the work for us. We need to do the work so that we get to our stamped yes. Amen? I'll just get the worship team to come up. So have you given up on a promise because it didn't work before? Have you, in the past, are you living with sickness or disease because you prayed once and it didn't work out? I'm here to tell you to do it again, amen? Pray again. Start standing on the word. The word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed, amen? It doesn't matter that you prayed before, you didn't get your breakthrough. God's word stands. It says, he says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if I am not getting my stamped yes, I need to look into myself and say, okay, where am I missing it? Am I believing a wrong doctrine? Am I not pushing through, or am I not following through the instructions that God has given me? Have you stopped believing for salvation, for family, because you prayed and it didn't work? You could be, maybe you were believing for your mom, your dad, your siblings, someone to get saved. The more you pray, it seems the more they get crazy, the more they pull away from God. I am here to tell you to do it again. Amen? God works with our hearts. What we see, like, you know, when David was getting anointed, Samuel came in. He went through all the brothers. And he says to David's dad, Jesse, he's like, none of these are the ones that God has called. Is there anyone else? And Jesse, oh, yeah, yeah, I've got another son who was in the field, but it couldn't be him. But he was the one that God wanted to anoint, amen? So God is a God that looks at our hearts. He doesn't look at our physical. He doesn't look at, you know, things that we would look at and qualify and say, yep, that's it. God works differently to us. Have you ruled yourself out of a job promotion because you tried it before? You went through the application and you didn't get it. So every job that comes now, you're like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. But I am here to challenge you to say, do it again. Amen? God says he will supply, he will do the exceedingly abundantly above anything we hope or even dream of. So maybe that job promotion wasn't for you. I actually have a testimony. My previous boss left and I was in line to get that job. I applied for it. And I didn't get it. I didn't even get an interview. I was like, oh my gosh, was my application that bad? And it actually worked. My confidence was shaken. And then I was like, you know what? I'll test this. Then I applied for another job. And the lady rang me. She's like, your application is on point. You know, you've got a brilliant resume. You've got this, just the working hours didn't suit what I wanted. So I was like, oh, you know, thank you. But thank you so much that you've told me that. That was 4 months later is when my husband and I decided we're going to start a business. If I had got that job, I would not have stepped out because I would have remained in this safe environment. Amen? So sometimes God's no is not a no, but it's like, look, I've got something better for you. I need you to step out. I need you to believe bigger. Some, for me, God has to push me out. Like, I'm standing here. That's just so ridiculous. Trust me. It's just, oh my gosh. I'm standing here talking to you. If I had my way, I'd probably be in kids' church. But God has his way of doing things. Amen. Have you stopped trusting God because you believed him once for something that never came to pass? As the microwave generation, you try once, it doesn't work. You're like, you know what? Forget it. What's the next best thing? Let me go with something that won't give me the best, but I'm guaranteed with the results, amen? So this morning, I am here to tell you, do it again, amen? Are you too busy to pray? You know, when God has pushed you a little bit towards your destiny, you know, you start enjoying that flexibility, you start enjoying the family. Do you then get too busy to pray? I've done it. I've prayed and fasted and cried and done everything. Then when I step into a portion of my promised land, I relax, you know. I don't want to wake up to read my Bible. I get too tired. I don't want to come to church. I don't want to do Bible study. Are we at that point? I am here to tell us, do it again. Get back to that place of surrender. Get back to that place of just being on your knees, just crying out to God and worshiping God for who He is and not for what He can do. Amen. Is your schedule too tight to have room for God? Do we only see God when we have a problem? Do I seek God as much in this realm, or I seek Him more here? I say, do it again and do it even bigger, especially when you can see just how far God has brought you. Amen? Because you've got something to stand on. You've got promises that have come to pass. You've got testimonies that have come to pass. You've got something to hold on to. You're like, God, You brought me out of that situation, and I know You can get me out of the situation I am in today. Amen? I'll read Genesis 3, verse 11. This is when Adam decided he was naked. And he said, so this is God talking. And He said, who told you you were naked? I'll just read that part. God says to Adam, who told you you were naked? Who told Adam he was naked? It was a lie of the enemy. So who told you that you have to live in sickness? Who told you that you have to live with lack? Who told you that you will never get married? Who told you that you will never have kids? Who told you that you're living your best days now? And the best, this is it. This is what you're today, is what you'll be in 50 years. Who told you that? For most of us, our past, things that have happened in our past, are the reason why we start thinking like that. Amen? Our past does not predetermine our future. Our past happens for whatever reason it happens. But that, if I grew up in a poor family, that does not mean I'm going to always be poor. Amen? If I was sick as a child, that does not mean I have to be sick forever. So today, let us surrender everything to God. Absolutely everything, like we sang in that song. Just be on our feet. You know, there's things that you don't necessarily want to give back to God because you're afraid of disappointment. Like I said, you could be living with sickness in your body and you're like, you know what? I can live with this. I know how to manage. I know what painkillers to get. You could be living with so much anxiety in your life and you're like, it's okay. I can manage this anxiety. I know what I can do when I, you know, when I feel myself pushing over the edge. But let us surrender those areas to God. Let us just surrender. Say, God, I am trusting You again. I'm sorry I've believed lies. And then the next thing is, I want us to ask the Holy Spirit to download to us strategies on how we can make sure we get that stamped yes at the end. Amen? Divine strategies on how we can establish godly routines in our lives. It could be finding 15 minutes, you know, 15 minutes a day where you commit to say, God, this 15 minutes is for You. 15 minutes where I read my Bible. It could be 5 minutes reading, 5 minutes praying, 5 minutes praising God, thanking Him. That would change your life. Amen. If you do it, but the key is in that consistency. We have to keep being consistent. It could be packing your kids' lunch boxes at night. Yay, that's for me. It will change my life. I won't be coming out of the house like stressed. It could be starting a new course. Maybe God's told you He's got businesses for you. If you were given keys to that CEO door today, in your current state, will you manage or you make that company go bankrupt? So now, what can you do today so that when you do get there, you're prepared. Amen. God has his part and we have our part. Our part is to stick it through. Our part is to, you know, lengthen our strengthen, you know, everything. Our part is to keep our fitness, spiritual fitness up. Amen. Everything is anchored back on God. God is our source. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, I will remain in you. So God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God has been tomorrow. God is in my tomorrow already, and he knows what I need. God is in my 20 years from now. And him being sovereign can download all that stuff into my spirit now so that I can prepare. Amen. I'm just going to get the guys to sing that song and just surrender. Just surrender to God and say, God, I give everything to you this morning. I surrender my life. I surrender my health. I surrender my family. I surrender my health in Jesus' name.